Hello and welcome to The Cryptid Catalog, a podcast for monster lovers young and old. Before we jump in, I want to mention some of the themes in today's story. Cryptid Catalog tries to cover stories in a kid-friendly manner, but every listener has different thresholds. So to make sure this story is suitable for your listeners, here are some things that you can expect to hear in today's story. Today's show contains colonialism and the use of religion to control populations, and mentions of miscarriages. If all that sounds intriguing, then sit back, get a little cozy, and come with us as we open up the Cryptid Catalog. Killian, there's something about the dark that makes us uneasy. Maybe it's silence, or maybe it's that ancient instinct, the one that tells us not to walk alone after midnight, not to stray too far from the light. In the Philippines, that feeling has a name, a creature people have whispered about for centuries, something that looks like us until it doesn't. Killian, what is this Filipino creature? If you don't know, that's okay.
Like a tourist skinwalker?
It's the Aswang. Have you heard of that?
No.
Okay, well then let's open up the cryptic catalog and find out more. Okay, so Killian, as always, first things first, we have our friend Porter to thank for introducing us to the Aswang. So Killian, have you ever heard of the Aswang before? I hope no. I'm saying it right.
No.
Okay. So the Aswang isn't just one creature, it's a category. It's like a terrifying umbrella for monsters that walk among us, looking like ordinary people by day and transforming into something deadly at night. It's the Filipino name for things that go bump in the night. So basically, all the things, kind of the things you're scared of at bedtime, like everybody, not just you, everybody. So the word Aswang comes from the Sanskrit Asura, which means demon, and Wangis, which means form or likeness. Over time, the word came to mean something far more specific and far more scary. So the Aswang is a shapeshifter, which means what?
It can turn into different things.
Exactly. So the Aswang loves to hide in plain sight. Do you know how it does it?
How? By turning into things it sees?
Very, very close. Yes, but more specifically, it transforms into the shape of a person in the daytime. Mm. So that means that it could be your neighbor. It could be the woman working at the gas station. It could be the quiet old man who lives down the street. It could be your teacher. It could be anybody. Okay. You never know.
And you can't trust anybody now. Well, is that really you?
Well, listen, you do know it's me. You know how you know it's me? Have you seen me in the nighttime? Okay, then I can't be an Aswang because at nighttime, that's when they turn, and when the sun sets, that's, oh my gosh, it's like, do you remember Super Monsters, that show you used to watch when you were little? In the song, they go, we're super monsters, and then they go, sun down, monsters up. It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
So when this...
great for telling a live audience that I watched that show.
I'm pretty sure majority of the kids who listen to this show like spooky things. So I'm sure a majority of them found very few spooky shows that were made for kids.
Oh, okay.
Also, Super Monsters was a great show. It was such a good show. Anyway, so anybody who you've seen, you can't shake your head. You loved it.
Okay.
Just because you at 9 years old don't like it doesn't mean it wasn't a good show.
Okay.
That's like, that would be silly. That would be like saying everything that you liked when you were a kid is bad now.
Yeah.
That's silly.
Yeah, fair.
Anyway, so if you've seen anybody after the sun goes down and they are still look like the people, then they are not an Aswang.
Wait, can I ask something?
Sure.
Can they turn into different things, or do they sit during the day, or can they like...
Are you saying that can they be like objects, or
no? Can they like turn into a different person in the same day?
I don't see why not.
Because, like, or, like, they're permanent how they choose it.
Oh, I feel like they could probably switch it up, but who knows? So it takes, so that means it could be, oh, I've totally lost my place in this page. Before we jump into the transformation, there we go, I'm back on track. Before we jump into the transformation, what do you think an Aswang looks like in its true form? So, like, the form when it's not pretending to be a human.
I don't know.
Well, it very well could, or like, it, well, you know, here's the thing. It can be all kinds of terrible things. There's no one answer. So, basically, if you had given any answer, it would have been good. Most commonly, though, the Aswang reveals its true form at nighttime. In some stories, it becomes a ghoul-like creature with sunken eyes, pale skin, long claws. But in others, it grows bat-like wings capable of gliding silently through the air. Some versions are even more grotesque. The Mononongle splits in half at the waist. Its upper body flies into the night while its entrails trail beneath it,
remember,
searching for prey.
We were supposed to cover that. Now we just did. Remember at the start of the show, I was like, oh, we should do the Mononongle. And we never did it. Now we just did it. So that's
so a Mononongle is an Aswang?
Kind of, but like... different.
Maybe because remember, the Aswang is just a big umbrella term. Yeah. It's like their version of saying like it's a monster. A monster can cover a million different things.
Yeah.
So I think a Mononongle is an Aswang because it's like a demon that goes bump in the night, essentially.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we're getting to the Mononongle finally.
They eat organs.
Ooh.
So they can add more to their waste.
Well, this makes sense because the Aswang is drawn to the scent of blood, and unfortunately, pregnant women and their infants are often the primary targets. Oh. It feasts on the sick and the dying or the freshly buried. So, do you have any idea where this thing comes from? Like, where the, like, stories of the Aswang started?
No, but can I say one thing?
Sure, go for it.
Is this Philippine or no?
Yes, Philippine. Filipino.
This is a... Filipino is one of the...
The Philippines?
The Philippine places and cities are very haunted.
Oh, like, okay.
They have been marked one of the most haunted places in the world.
Where did you hear that? Monstrum?
Yes.
Fair.
She's making a lot of new video.
Oh, love that. You hear that, everybody?
Yeah, she's making money.
All the people who... we've gotten to watch Monstrum or was watching Monstrum before, new episodes. We're single-handedly keeping Monstrum on the air.
Yeah, she's making money right now.
Well, good for her. She deserves it. She does a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
All right. So the origins of the Aswang date back hundreds, maybe even thousands of years, long before Spanish colonization. Some scholars believe it was used as a way to explain sudden infant deaths, miscarriages, or unexplained illnesses in remote villages. If a woman lost her child, it may have been easier and more culturally comforting to say that it was taken by an Aswang than to accept the mysterious medical tragedy. When the Spanish arrived in the 16th century, they documented encounters with Aswang legends, and they may have even used the fear of the creature to keep remote villages compliant, warning them that only the church could protect them. Despite centuries of modernization, belief in the Aswang remains pretty strong in many rural areas of the Philippines. And even in urban settings, it's common to hear people say, I don't believe in Aswangs, but I wouldn't want to test it. So far, what do you think about the Aswang?
I think it's a little bit crazy that they thought that's how babies died.
Yes, but here's the thing. Think about it this way. Would it be easier to blame an unseen monster for something so sad or to be just told, well, it just happens sometimes? You know what I'm saying? Sometimes...
Well, it's better to have... like
the facts.
A slightly logical reason.
Yeah.
Instead of something...
You're right.
That is a bunch of hogwash.
How do we know it's hogwash? You don't know that.
Well, yeah, but like it doesn't seem but real. But
I will say this. Sometimes grief makes you do things that maybe other people can't understand, but we have to accept that because people grieve. Remember, we talked about this last time. We talked about like the Grim Reaper. People grieve differently, and that's how they decide to grieve. And if thinking that their baby was lost to a monster makes them heal better or heal in a way that's more, that's better for them, then that's okay.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Losing a child is one of the most horrible things that could happen to someone.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Or something like a, like.
Or just tragedy in general, losing someone they love.
Yeah, like things fetal. Like, even if it's not a person, it can be an animal.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Anything loved one. Animals, love, like babies, siblings, yeah, parents.
Yeah, we can relate a little.
Yes, we did just lose our puppy. Or he wasn't a puppy. He was 15 years old. But yes. Yeah. So maybe, you know, sometimes it's so sad and we don't understand things. So sometimes it's okay to come up with something magical and mystical sometimes to make you feel better.
Yeah.
As long as you're not hurting others, it's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's get back to what we were doing. How do you think you would go about protecting yourself from this type of creature?
You know how you talked about how we can protect ourselves from the boo hag?
Well, yeah.
I think it's something similar to that. Okay. But a little bit different.
Okay. Fair.
Like, the salt, all the way.
Okay, well, hold on, because you're kind of right. Are you ready to hear?
Or holy water.
Are you ready to hear about some of the more traditional precautions taken by the people in the Philippines to protect themselves?
Yes.
So you kind of were right. Garlic and salt are said to repel it, which sounds kind of like a vampire. And like a boo hag, like you said. A special kind of coconut oil called lana is believed to bubble or shimmer in the presence of the aswang. So I guess you could carry that around with you, and if it bubbled or shimmered, you'd be like, okay, there's one nearby. Like during the daytime, possibly. Some carry daggers made of stingray tails, which are thought to injure or even kill the creature. And dogs with keen senses are also said to bark frantically or howl when an aswang is near.
Also, dogs can see ghosts.
That is true.
So you know how the dogs always bark when there's a person at the door?
Correct.
But they see a ghost.
Ooh, okay.
But they see a ghost or
that's
after.
True. Well, if that's the case, we had lots of demons in our house because Lupin barked at everything.
Well, he was very jumpy.
So the most effective thing, though, all of that works potentially, but the most effective thing is said to be light. An aswang thrives in the shadow, so keep the lights on and never walk alone at night, which is just a general good rule anyway, to not walk alone at night or to be very careful.
Yeah.
So like any good monster, stories are shared amongst cultures and we could see a lot of similarities. In Romanian folklore, there is the strigoi, which is a relentless spirit that rises from the grave to drink the blood and torment the living. In India, there's the churil, which lures men into the forest, their feet twisted backwards, and their face hidden until it's too late. In the American Southwest, Navajo skinwalkers, so you said skinwalkers earlier, and that's not altogether incorrect.
Yeah, because, like, you know how they, like, shapeshift?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Navajo skinwalkers are said to wear the skins of animals, shifting shape to cause harm or spread fear. And of course, in the West, we have vampires, which many have the same kind of traits. Bloodlust, shape-shifting, fear of light. So, like we said earlier, the term aswang is like a big umbrella term to cover a bunch of different things.
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna be real cautious when I see a person with an umbrella on a very sunny
No, umbrella. Umbrella, you're saying because they cover themselves from the sun.
Yeah.
Fair, but also sometimes umbrella in the sun is nice because it gets too hot. Sometimes mommy does that. All right, so we did some research and we were able to find a couple firsthand accounts or encounters with the aswang. Are you ready to hear them?
Yeah.
So So this one is called The Whisper in the Ceiling, which is told by Maria T. I was 8 months pregnant. The baby had started kicking a lot that day, almost like he knew something was wrong. That night, just after midnight, I heard it. At first, I thought it was just the wind brushing the roof, but then it kept going soft, deliberate, like wings. My grandmother heard it too. She came into the room with a bowl of salt and started spreading it across the windowsill, mumbling prayers under her breath. She didn't even have to explain. She just did it like it was a routine. The noise didn't stop. It walked along the roof, slow and heavy. There was a moment where it paused right above me. I swear I could feel it, something pressing down through the ceiling, like it was sniffing for me or for the baby. I didn't sleep at all, neither did my grandmother. In the morning when we went outside, there were scratches on the roof near the supports, deep ones, like claws. And on the windowsill, just one tiny drop of something dark, almost black. I still don't know what it was, but after that night, my grandmother never let me sleep alone until after I gave birth. Okay, so now this one is called The Funeral Guest, which was told by Thomas V., which is a caretaker. You'll hear stories like this if you've lived long enough in these parts, but I'd never seen it with my own eyes until that night. We were holding a wake for an old man in the village. He'd passed away peacefully, they said, and everyone came to pay their respects. Around 2 a.m., most folks had gone home, and only a few of us were still around. I stepped outside for a cigarette, and that's when I saw it. Across the street, under the shadow of a tree, there was this thing. I thought it was a person at first, tall, very thin, wearing something like a cloak. But the way it moved, slow and jerky, like it wasn't used to walking on two legs. It crossed the road and stood near the door of the house. Didn't knock, didn't come in, just hovered there, watching. Its arms were too long, I swear to you. The fingers reached past its knees. I froze. I didn't even yell. I just backed into the house and locked the door. When we checked the coffin in the morning, the man looked different, sunken. His cheeks were hollowed out, like something had drained him during the night. So this one is called The Road to Illinois. I think it's how you say it. Nope, that's not how you spell Illinois. This is told by Ramon E., who's a truck driver. You want to know why I quit night deliveries? It's because of what I saw on the road to Illinois. God, I wish I could say that correctly. It was around 3 a.m. I was driving alone, half dead from exhaustion, trying to get this shipment delivered before sunrise. The highway was quiet, no cars, no lights, just the sound of my engine. That's when I saw her, a woman standing by the roadside, long black hair, head down, wearing what looked like a white dress. I slowed down, thinking maybe she was in trouble. But as I got closer, I got this feeling like ice was crawling up my spine. I stopped the truck and leaned out the window to ask if she needed help. She didn't move. Then I'll never forget this. She turned her head. Her eyes were glowing red, not like an animal, like fire. And her mouth was stretched into a crooked smile that didn't belong on a human face. That's when I noticed it. She had no legs. Her body just ended at the waist. The lower half was gone, floating. I hit the gas so fast I nearly flipped the truck. Drove for 30 minutes before I even dared to look in the mirror. People say I imagined it, but I know what I saw, and I will never drive that route again, especially not at night. So, that's it, Killian. That's the ass swing. What do you think?
Creepy.
Creepy, very creepy, for sure.
Yeah.
Would you ever want to meet one?
No.
No?
Unless I was very, very protected.
Yeah. Listen, well, also, how do we know if we haven't met one? Because they look like humans. I do know I wouldn't want to meet one.
Yeah.
So.
What if.
Uh-huh. Did you lose your train of thought?
No.
Okay.
No, it's just a person I don't want to say on air.
Understood. Okay. Well, let's take a second and thank our friend Porter for suggesting this very, very creepy story.
Thank you.
Thanks. Say thank you, Porter.
Thank you, Porter.
If you guys have suggestions that you would like us to cover, please reach out with your grown-up's permission and with the patience that if your grown-up doesn't have time to do it right then and there, you give them a second.
And you ask kindly.
And what a great caveat. Ask kindly. Very good. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. I am Karina.
I'm Killian.
And this has been
The Cryptid Catalog.
Until next time, remember,
the cryptids are watching.
The cryptids are watching.